Right. We're gonna mix a drink right in front of us. We've got
nice.
Yay!
Did you on another segment? I think I was like, that looks cool.
And I'm gonna add a little bit of Coke, like JD taught me. Just add a little Coke. Add a little Coke, and we're good.
All right,
you're a mixologist.
Bye. Cheers, ladies.
Well, what are we going to have? We've got a plethora here.
Judy being the expert, I told you she's
well, I do like to drink.
Very well knowledged on bourbons and whiskeys, brought a variety today.
My first one I'm excited about is I brought JD a bottle of Blanton's. It is so hard to get. And
very expensive.
And we saw it on the same show. We found all the segments on the show to find out what that bottle was.
I'm grateful, Frank.
Yeah. So this is for her.
Thank you.
And
can't believe that
I did not know JD was a rum person, nor did I realize Tyler was so into rum. But I was in Louisiana last week, so I brought her some Bayou Spiced Rum back.
Oh, nice.
You're already there.
Try that.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, that's going to be good. I can feel it. I can feel it in here. Yeah.
But what we're having is, I'll say it wrong, Hibiki.
Okay.
The Japanese whiskey that Jim Beam is called Beam Suntory. Suntory is a Japanese company that's collaborated with Jim Beam. So I wanted to try that, and it's very good, as you can tell. That's what we're having tonight.
Because it says Japanese
Harmony.
Harmony.
That's so cool. I have like CNN on all the time, and they have these commercials that are the 100 Club, and they talk about different whiskeys like Jim Beam, you know, being 100 years old or older. And there's always this little segment that comes on that's about Japanese whiskey, and that's the one that they focus
this one.
On.
Okay, sure,
yeah.
Well, actually, what I thought I was getting was I saw it at my local place, and I said, "Oh, that's what I had with Tyler in Memphis." But I tried to get him on the phone, which I couldn't. He's at work. it's called Oishi, and that is very hard to get.
Oh, wow.
But a story with that was when I took the Dead Rabbit whiskey to Memphis, we went to, you know, Memphis is known for great music, all kinds of that, and barbecue. And we didn't eat barbecue, which we had before.
Yeah.
But I whiskey. We went to an Italian place that was so good. Mary and Catherine's or Catherine Mary's. I got
to say Mary and Catherine.
Yeah. And while we're sitting there, we order a neat pour of the Oishi. So I was like, I go to Memphis, I'm eating great Italian food and having Japanese whiskey with my son. I mean, that is just how
it's as multicultural as you can get.
It's
yeah.
So fun. Yeah.
And I have to say, Tyler did not join you out as the one that smuggled the Dead Rabbit whiskey.
He didn't. He kept that on the DL, man. He was like, did not.
Maybe he
didn't want
to go. Maybe he didn't want to go on travel. I didn't care. I was going
to see Tyler. What are you going to do? I'm back with it. Yeah. That's awesome. That's excellent. So you guys, this is, oh, by the way, I love your haircut.
Thank you. I'm getting it cut again tomorrow. This is grown out. I saw your segment on your haircut. It's looking great.
I think so.
But I cut my own hair. I've been cutting Terry's since COVID with my grooming. I was a dog groomer for 21 years. And I just, he didn't want to go anywhere. And I was like, okay, I'll do yours. So then one day I just got tired of mine. It was, you know, I wasn't going anywhere. And I just started going. And then I had to go get fixed. I mean, I could do
it. Yeah, I know the feeling.
So we're working on the collar. I don't want it.
I waited like 10 months. I purposely didn't touch my hair because the last time, like in February, way back before our year-long one, when we had like the mini one, I just like started hacking away at it and I really screwed it up. So I learned my lesson. So then it all grew out and I was like, okay, I'm all right with it long, you know, like that's, I could put it in a ponytail. That's cool. And so I didn't touch it for 8, 9 months, 10 months. And I went to this exclusive high street salon and I think I had the youngest girl in there. If she was 20, I'll eat my shoe. And I could tell right off the bat that she was like so not confident. And I'm like, you know, like this is, you got this, man, this is easy. Like I don't need you to take anything off the length, you know, just, you know, trim my layers or whatever, you know. And so Yeah, she started going to town and I had my glasses off, so I can't really tell what she's doing. And she asked me, "Is how many layers do you want?" And I was like, I didn't know I could choose. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever you think.
Usually you just say, I want it layered.
There's already layers in it. Just follow the fucking line. I was so bad, but I walked out and I was like, okay, you can't really tell because I don't like let them blow dry it because then I look like a country singer. No offense to country singers, but like I walk out looking like Bonnie Raitt, you know what I mean? So I got home and washed it and I'm blow drying it. And I'm like, this is bad. This is so bad. This is really bad. Why does it look like this? Oh my God. And then I started pulling pieces and pulling pieces. Oh, she just stopped right here. Like, because I said I liked having a ponytail, she just grabbed all that and put it in the back and just laid it right here. And I was like, holy crap. So this weekend, my wife hacked away and hacked away and hacked away. She never asked me how many layers I wanted. No,
she did a good job.
She fixed it enough. It looks good.
Thank you. She fixed it enough to get me to stop cry bitching. Like I bitched till I cried. Cry bitching. So yeah, so that's it. And then of course it like jumped up to 80 degrees in the last like 2 days. So no control in that. It's weather reliant. So oh yeah, that reminds me. Can you hear the fans or no?
No.
Okay, no. Cool. I got like 3 fans going right now.
I don't want to make you jealous and say, can you hear the air conditioning? Yes.
My mother already did that.
I always say I know I have a bad haircut when after I wash it myself, because first you think once I do it myself, it'll be okay. And then I always know it's not good when I say it'll grow. Like just know that's not a good haircut. Well, it'll grow.
I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to wear a hat for like 8 weeks. So I can't now because it's so muggy. So I didn't want to wear a hat because it would be like sweat. So yeah, anyways, it's like 77 degrees in here and it just rained a little bit. So
you look fabulous to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Here's to heavily drinking for the next 8 weeks. So you guys, I posted a thing on Twitter that said you were going to be, singing tonight. And I put the little picture up from the Janice Ian thing. They don't. That's just a dead end right there. Don't. Period. Full stop.
I caught it on one of the segments, and
always a Janice Ian reference in life.
I just wanted people to know that you won that song contest, that lockdown song contest that she did. But that, as I posted it, I thought, I wonder if people will think that's the first time you guys sang together. Like, I know differently, but, you know, our listeners, watchers, viewers, whatever, they don't know that you've sung lots of times before. So Judy, what do you do? Just rock up to the stage and be like, I'm in on this one?
Yeah.
That's how it works? Or you have your own band or you do your own?
No, singing? I don't. I prefer acoustic, a duo, a trio. Small venues singing to the people. Not that JD doesn't, but she also loves the band. And
I drag Judy into it when I can.
Step in once in a while, but it's a whole thing with, you know, hearing yourself, getting the rehearsals, changing the key, and that's
Okay. All right.
I've been in this key for years. Well, I don't sing in that key. So I just, we just do well together, and we've done a few other things. If it's acoustic, I just think you hear better. It's a lot less set up, like Horst was talking about.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my God, and duo stuff when you go to festivals or parks, you gotta lug that stuff across fields and all that. I mean, but you do it.
I don't want to work that hard.
What's easy about the duo is like. We did so many songs together, having worked together for so many years. And there were songs I would just pick up by ear, and I might have been missing a chord. But when you have two vocals going, it's a passing chord. You don't notice it. So for years, I played like Drift Away, certain songs, like not knowing there was an E minor or a B minor. So then I get with a band. And now when you're with four other people, you've all got to know that there's that chord there. When it's just us, it's like, who needs that B minor? We didn't.
So that sounds so much, it sounds like it's a lot more relaxing, a lot more fun.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
You can kind of let loose a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We can, you know, pick on the crowd. We get picked on. We bring our own hecklers. Terry Routley being one of them. When I'm singing, looking at someone, you know, like we're saying, sitting here singing to the screen is going to be a little different because it's hard to sing in your living room.
I can't say that. I don't know how these people in lockdown that were doing virtual concerts just had the had the energy to do it. Like, what do you play off of, you know? Unless your dog is rocking out next to you.
I was doing it for a couple of, you know, weeks, or I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. I did it in real quarantine when everyone was quarantined.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was reaching people literally all over the world. I mentioned that people like hello from Italy, hello from Spain, hello from, you know, England. And it's like,
yeah.
And also from here, of course, from the US, but people were all in lockdown. But it's very, it's difficult when you don't have, I was live streaming. That's why I was getting that.
So you were just playing for the likes, the like bubbles.
I was playing for the like
for thumbs bubbles. Up bubbles.
It's hard to read them when you're playing, but you know, yeah. It is nice to meet people that way, but it's tough, you know, but we played a place called the Circus Bar for how many years? Like 7 years.
We were there before I was.
Yeah.
How many years? So, yeah.
And we were the Circus Bar. It was in Pompano. It was in a warehouse area. And it was like, it had the most eclectic group of patrons that went there. And we were, we were rock stars when we were there. We didn't even know, like, when we left that place because the owner retired. Oh, and the people that bought it didn't want to have live music anymore. They invested in this virtual jukebox. And so the owner, before he left, he was such a great guy to work for, Phil. He threw us a party to say,
God.
And he had, and people were taking our posters off the wall because our posters were on the wall for 7 years, laminated, you know, back in the day when you laminated a poster.
Yeah, yeah.
People were ripping. It was like Midnight in Altamont or something, Nightmare in Altamont. It was
That's
crazy.
Hilarious.
A lot of people showed up, and it was, you know, it was a good send off. And at the end, I'm like, Judy, we were rock stars. Like, my thing was always going to be, like, when we become famous, we're going to come back here and do a show for Phil. And then I'm like, wait a minute, this was as good as it got. We were rock stars.
Yeah, you topped out at Phil's.
We were already there. We didn't know it.
That is priceless. So that was, you did that for 7 years.
7 years we were the Gold Rush Girls because we did not our mostly name. Country.
Yeah. And then I brought some rock in.
So
the crowd, it used to be a biker bar. I don't think it was much when we were there. That's what I heard. You didn't know that?
Yeah, well,
that was a question. Good. I was like, great. I mean, we knew all the people, you know, just make your rounds and
drinking. Oh my God. Talk about having the whiskey rock. That should have been the whiskey rock lounge in person.
Because the real one.
Our first break, people would want to buy us drinks, and I would have like a shot of Jaeger, a shot of Jack, a shot of Zambuca, like before the second set. People were sending us the shots of Jack all night. And like sometimes we couldn't drink them all.
And or they wanted to do them with you. Bye.
That's
2 more hours to go and
got to
drive home.
That's then we show up one day, Denise, and there's a stripper pole on the stage after 5 years of working there. And we're like,
so we're like, what's different?
I'm like,
something's different.
I feel a little pressure with this tonight. What is this? What happens? What goes on Friday night? Because we're not here.
Oh my God. I would have just like got up there and did like bounce, bounce, bounce.
Well, we did have the lingerie girls, and you know, we used to call the numbers for lingerie girls, but Judy one day took the
we were looking, right? We're looking up and mirrored ceiling, you know, and I'm like, what? There's fingerprints, toe prints. What? Somebody's been up there already.
Jesus, Jay, how did you let me miss that opportunity?
So it was so funny. I was on one side pole. She was on, we didn't touch the pole.
We didn't touch the pole.
But then one day, Phil, the owner, challenged whoever could climb the pole or work the pole or whatever. Could we get up on the pole, they were getting free drinks. So I turned around and Judy was like, now you were like upside down. We're like, they ain't got nothing on me. And I'm
like, I thought it was a competition. I thought he was going to say more people up. Yeah, this would be fun. I'll start, you know, whatever. So that was the only time. It's funny.
Right. But that came in handy when we got into a rollover 3 years ago. A kid ran light. We were on our way home from rehearsal. And Judy, it rolled over on my side, held the door open with her foot, and held herself up not to fall on top of me. So thank you for that. I don't know anyone else that would be that agile that would have been in that seat next to me.
He's like, from the whole days.
I know.
I think I'd like to say we've survived dive bars and rollovers.
Oh, Lord, man. And then you had the nerve to drag Judy to Pride festivals.
Yes,
Pride Fest
and weddings and holy unions. At the time, they weren't legal weddings, but they called them holy unions, and everyone comes together.
Oh, well, she would say, "What's that wine we like?" Oh, it's
we used to work at a place we tasted wine all night, and then everyone saying, "We know you're together. Don't worry about it. We got you a table by yourselves at this one wedding at Chardy's," and then no one believed us. And then I go, "Judy, what's our wine?" We had our wine.
Killing it. Yeah, definitely.
But that did get you out of, we worked at a gig where this one woman was infatuated with you.
We have used it to our advantage.
Was so drunk and wouldn't leave her alone. The woman was hammered. And she's insisting on helping Judy take the speakers down. And of course, like a few months into working with me, I got into my first rollover in 1998. I was alone in the car and I fractured my elbow. And so I couldn't lift the speakers. And then like a little bit after that, the next year, I ended up having to have a surgery, having a hysterectomy, couldn't pick up the speakers. So Judy got stuck doing all that work.
Judy, who doesn't want to do anything but get up and sing and to become the roadie.
I had all the equipment. I showed up with a mic and mic stand. And like, okay, I'm
done. So Judy's lifting everything up and this one woman just wouldn't leave her alone. We were at this women's picnic. And like in the Now group, you know, Now.
Yeah.
And so we were at a group at a picnic at FAU, and it was no alcohol. So we don't know where she got drunk, but she must have just brought her own.
Construction and had a pickup truck, so I'm sure he had her stash.
He had a thermos. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, definitely.
She was insisting on taking one speaker down, and then finally she just knocked the whole thing over with the stand and everything. And Judy goes, "Well, she helped me with that one."
Oh my God.
And finally, she comes over to me and goes, "How many years is it that we're together, JD?" I still don't know why she's asking me. And I'm like, "I think it's going to be about 4 years now." And she goes, "4 years.
4 years. And we have a 10-year-old son. My son's 10. I took everybody with me. Tyler, JD.
Everybody came
along. Going down. You're all going down with me. Yeah. Excellent. Oh my
and
God.
She goes, "I don't want to get in the middle of that anything." And she finally left you alone then. Yeah.
Wow.
We've got a lot of stories through the years.
Oh my God. Holy crap. I can't even. It works though. It works both ways. If someone's like hanging on you, you could be like, you know, I'm with my girlfriend. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same Everybody thing. Else liked Judy better though.
No way. No way.
Blondes have more fun.
Yes. And Judy wasn't sure. Always a blonde. Sometimes I'd show up, she'd be a redhead. One time I showed up, her head was shaved on sides.
Little spikes. Then I fell with the spikes.
But she didn't tell me. So when I got there.
I didn't
tell
Terry or anybody. I just came home.
My wife is like that. She's just fearless. She's just like, it's hair. It'll grow back. It doesn't matter. I'm like, I never know what to expect when she comes home from a hair appointment because, you know, like I said, she's just like fearless. Like, I think we're a little more cautionary now. We're not going to that place anymore. Finding a new place. But before, what happened was the good girl quit. So then you got, you know, and I also think there was like a weird little shakeup in management too. But, you know, it's just, you know how it is, Jay. Like for a lesbian, your hair is kind of like your deal, you know? So, and it's pride season. So I got to wear a hat for pride season. By the way, kiss the girls.
We have to do a special pride show. Love the shirt.
Yeah.
I didn't want pride this year because everybody was like on again, off again. No one knew if they were doing it. And then I was too late to submit. So I don't know if I'm going to be in any pride festivals, but maybe then.
There's a lot of after parties too, that are just as good. So if you get a gig at a place that's celebrating the after parties, that's cool too. I don't know what they're doing here. I just don't pay attention because I just, again, like didn't think anything was going on, but I saw this cool thing on Twitter where this girl started a thing called Porch Pride.
Oh.
Just like a massive Zoom thing where people were sitting on their porch drinking with their rainbow shit. So it was called Porch Pride. And they just like would go in and out to different. All right. Sorry, my cats are fighting. Don't be nice. Be nice. She's little. They're both behind the computer. Oh, geez. Stop. Okay. Well, you did it. You annoyed him. He left. He's gone. Leave him alone. God, it's like having kids. It's like having like a older boy and a younger girl, and she just wants to tag along and do everything with him, and he's just like, boom.
Over.
No.
Over.
Yeah. They,
and for our listeners and viewers that don't know, Judy is Tyler's mom.
Yes.
Our mixologist.
That's right.
Mixologist.
He's coming up on 2 weeks, right? He's coming in in 2 weeks. We got him. We nailed him down. Yeah. You have no idea. Every time he's on, my mother goes nuts over him.
I love it.
My mother.
We got to go meet your mom.
So sweet. He's so knowledgeable and he's so personable and he's so sweet. He really is.
He's adorable.
Yeah. He's like I'm sure he's edgy amongst bartenders, edgy, you know, but I feel like he treats us with such respect that he is like so sweet. And he does everything in layman's terms for us because we don't know anything he's doing. He spells it out for us. And it's fantastic. I mean, look at me. I'm making ice beers.
with the special, the spear, yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy either. But it's so cool. I just like having a big ball in the middle of my drink. It's the only time I'll ever say I like a big ball. You know what I mean?
Oh,
floating in whiskey, and that's it. Floating in whiskey. We have to get off that. That's bad. Did Tyler get his interest in whiskeys from you, or has he passed it on to you with all his knowledge?
Yeah, I've really gotten a lot of knowledge from Tyler because I was doing
brilliant, man.
And I really wasn't a drinker per se. You know, beer fills me up, and you know, I never knew to drink bourbon neat. Or you know, I just, it was a shot or it's mixed in something.
Yeah.
And I had an episode way before COVID, everybody, where I lost taste and smell. And it was nose stuff, sinus stuff. So I've had two surgeries. But when I got it back, and I mean, I wasn't really drinking. I mean, I drank, but I was with Tyler, and he was in Savannah and was doing this whiskey kind of challenge at this bar. You go through all the whiskeys and you get a bottle or something. So he was having one, and he goes, oh, and he was smelling it, you know, because mm-hmm. his girlfriend is in the service industry, and she's way, you know, knowledgeable about wine and drinks. But so she brought him along with that kind of stuff. So I smelled it, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it smells so good. So mm-hmm. I ordered. And, you know, that's when it kind of started. I was like, why am I slamming shots and mixing stuff when, you know, you can really drink it
neat? Like you need, yeah. Yeah. I'm on that now because of the keepers. I got,
oh, I wanted to ask about that. That
yeah, the honey.
I am so about the smoked flavor and the honey. Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's so amazing. But I just said to Gemma, you know, I thought I was an Irish whiskey person because of the way I took to the Jamesons. I mean, like I thought, so then we started getting like Glenfiddich and Peaky Blinders and Glenlivet and all these Glengoyne, you know, all these Irish whiskeys and everything. And I'm like, I think I like bourbon better. I think now that I've taken
but when I'm with friends and we have Jameson, I love Jameson.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. It's
the,
good.
The castmate one is just that's my favorite. Like I'm sure regular Jameson's is fine, but the castmate one, I just think it has something to do with the barrels. Like they teach you in the tour, it really makes a huge difference. So I bought like two big bottles when we were when we went over there, and they're gone. And then I went through that panic thing, like, what if I can't get the castmate? Well, how do I get the castmate? I realize it's actually pretty standard over here, so I didn't have to panic. So. Yeah, but that is definitely, I mean, and they give you like a drink when you walk in. They give you the castmate with ginger ale and a squeeze of lime. Hmm. And that's when me, my mother, my stepdad, we all got hooked on that drink. We were. My mother still she'll send me a picture of her Jameson and ginger with the lime in it.
Like
that's like our thing. And over here, I do it with ginger beer. And that just got like a little bit more of a bite to it. And it's just, it's awesome. It's so good. Are you guys primed? Like, do you have enough liquor in you to sing or no?
Yeah, we're ready. We started a little bit before the show, just tasting, you know. So, you know, you have to do that for medicinal reasons, Denise.
Exactly. That's all primed, all lubed. Yeah, yeah.
Purely medicinal. So the first song we'd like to do is an Eagle song called Seven Bridges Road. And this is where the Japanese harmony whiskey comes in. Hopefully,
we like to say Eagles were like seven of them, and there's just the two of us. But yeah, we do like that.
There are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go. There is moonlight and moss in the trees down the Seven Bridges Road. Like some the southern sky. And if ever you decide you should roam, there is a taste of time sweet as honey down the seven bridges roll.
Well done.
Thank you.
Love it. I like that song. I didn't know that was the name of it.
Yeah.
I heard that Eagles song because it was kind of like an album cut, I think. But
yeah. That's crazy. Really cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, you guys sound good. When did you figure out that you could harmonize? I'm not a musician. So when did you figure out that your voices sounded good together?
Well, we lucked out, I think, because I mean we met in a weird way. And then I had to audition and another girl was leaving and we didn't want animosity from anybody else. And finally, when we sang a few things, we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, because Judy you have a real great harmony, ear for harmony. And yeah, I don't.
It's pretty basic. I can jump on a basic one. But the one she does, she gets them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can only hear certain harmonies. I'm more of a lead singer. Like harmonies are really interesting, specialized technique to be able to do because you're singing something different from the lead. And I always jump on the melody, you know, you're singing something different from the melody. But when we first started singing, yeah, Judy just jumped in and was doing those harmonies and it sounded great. It was lucky because not everyone can sing harmony and sing it.
I have a blend of sorts too.
We were lucky about that our voices just blended.
Exactly. That's really cool. Cause I always notice that, like when I go to see Eek, Lucy, Mandy,
they're
so good. And Lucy and Danielle sound amazing together. You know, like a lot of times they'll do acoustic gigs, just Mandy and Lucy. But when the whole band's together, and then they, every once in a while, will bring on Linda Bellingham, who's like Lucy's best friend. And you throw her in the mix and it's incredible. Like it just,
it's amazing.
So yeah, I think when you find that and the fact that you get along, that's important.
Exactly, right. That's very important. I'm glad you bring that up because women in particular, which is what I talked about with Lucy and Mandy, it's very hard to find women that can get along in this business because everyone fights for the spotlight sometimes. And that was never an issue with Judy and I. Like we build each other up, you know. I'm happy when people are like, I'm proud of Judy when someone, compliments Judy and she feels the same way about me.
And
so.
Playing, you know, I just love how she, you know, I don't play an instrument. So I just, you know, I'll do something like DAG a couple of times. I go to sing. It's like the mic chain came off. It's like, so I'll never do that. But then, you know, I'll play, what was I playing one time? I think I have dreams. If I can't go, I can't do the F chord. And I do this, and it's like, well, it's something like this. And she goes, I'm here. And then it sounded two chords, and it still sounded like the song. And I was like,
I hate to say that. I mean, because we're friends besides being, having survived so many things. And Judy has been there for me through many thing, hard stuff in my life, you know. Judy was like right there as any best friend should be.
Yeah.
And so even when I didn't want to talk about things, she's like, you're talking about this with me. We're coming in this talking about this. What's the matter with you? But it's just interesting because I've worked with some women where if they could have literally kicked me off the stage to get me out of the spotlight, they would have. And it's like, it's just a hard business that way.
It really is. Yeah. I would imagine having a conversation, like if you were bringing someone in, you can't say like, I'm the star, you're back here, you're over there. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it just doesn't seem professional.
Right. And all I want is equal. Like, right. Let's all be equal.
Right.
Right. You know?
like when I used to hang out with Lori Michaels and watch her stage show, like the backup girls were the backup girls.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
That's what yeah. they were. They didn't, she would bring them forward to, you know, to do something and give them their time in the spotlight, you know, and then they would go back to their positions. And it always seemed like it, you know, like a very smooth thing. There was never any friction or anything, but I can only imagine that with, especially most of your band is men, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. now, so if you bring like another female singer, like that, I don't know. Like, I feel like that dynamic would be weird. Like, I see you guys like as an acoustic duo doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But, it would seem weird to have yet another singer, another female singer. So,
well, they, you know, the guys love like when Judy, like they're always like, is Judy singing on this show? Or like, what about the country? We're going to be doing a country gig July 4th. It's a band thing. For the town of Davie, but you'll be out of town. But I want Judy, come on and sing this one with, you know, come and do some with us. But even the guys tell me they have problems working with women, and they just like working with me because I'm not like that. The women turn into divas.
Yeah,
you know,
that's you shine a spotlight on them, and all of a sudden you create a monster.
Yes, you create a monster. And if you tell them they're not doing something like, oh, you know what, you were a little like off key on something, they'll go burst into tears and leave the room. And like the first time I worked with a bunch of guys that had worked with another woman, they're like, you know, like, we could tell you're not singing something the right way and you're okay with it. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
You know,
I'm like, yeah, I can take constructive criticism. And they're like, really? Because the other one we work with bursts out of the room and it takes us 20 minutes to get her back in. And, you know, so like, I guess I've never been like the typical person the typical woman that works in this business.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody's telling you that you're not doing something right, wouldn't you want to know that and want to correct it? So
yeah. Burst into tears over it. So got me on the Jack Daniels. You got me on the whiskey drinking. I used to drink beer. Strategy. Yeah. I used to drink beer. And one time Judy ordered a Jack. They always wanted to get us drinks at the circus. And I'm like, what is that? I tried it. I'm like, why am I wasting my time with beer? I'm going to drink Jack.
I was going to say, how could you be drinking beer and then go to sing without burping into them? I'm drinking a Coke right now. And I swallowed like three burps already.
Well, some of the bars we worked in, I didn't want to drink out of the glasses. I just questioned all of that.
I got that. I'm the same way in pubs too, especially because they just don't get new glasses, so they're clean but they look old.
And yeah, it
gives you the creeps. So yeah. You're right about that. So my other question was, you said you auditioned. Is that how you met? Through an audition?
Well, Judy, she didn't audition for me. She actually auditioned for the owner of the bar. It was always two women. I started with another girl, Claire, and then Claire went on to do other things. And then I worked with a girl, Jennifer, and then we just never really like worked well together. So I needed someone else. And to make the story short, we were both playing at a benefit for cerebral palsy.
Okay.
So Judy was in a band.
I was singing with a band.
Judy, you were singing in a band.
Didn't like it, but I wanted to sing.
A band.
And I was in a duo with a guy. So we opened because we were the duo. And then he sees a guitar in one of the bands that was playing after us. And he's like, I want to hear that guitar. And then I see a drummer that I know, which was the drummer in Judy's band. And I'm like, oh my God, I know that guy. And so I wanted to hear the band, but I wanted to hear Judy sing because I saw he had a woman singing. And I'm like, and I thought Judy was his girlfriend. And I'm like, how did he score her? You know, like,
So nice.
So
now I'm offended.
punching up, so and he's punching away.
Douchebag, right? So okay, so he's the douchebag, but we both have that commonality, right? So so Judy. We play, and then because we're going on first, that second band with the guitar that my guy that I was working with wanted to hear, he wants to hear them. So I said, you know what, there's one band before them, let's go drop off a press kit. I was always looking for gigs, and we'll come right back. We get hopelessly lost because I have the worst sense of direction. That you know, there was no Steak and Shake as a landmark.
That's how you got to give me direction.
So we never find the place to drop off the press kit, and we just go back. He's like, can we go back now? Because I want to hear that guitar. Well, that band was done. He never got to hear the guitar. But now Judy's band was going up. So I'm like, listen, I want to stay because we rode together because I want to hear the girl singing in that band because I need to find another girl because that was the thing. I could get another person to work with me at the circus, but it had to be another woman.
Right.
He wanted a two-girl duo. So I hear Judy, and I think she's great. And I'm like, how am I going to? And they went on, you had a longer set, and the guy I was with wanted to leave by now. He was upset. He missed the band he wanted to hear.
Out of there.
So I'm like, I know the drummer. I'll text him. Wasn't texting. It was back when people had beepers.
So I sent
him a beeper message praying he still had the same one because he was always not paying it, losing it, getting another one. He did. And so he gave me her number. I realized then she wasn't with him because I'm like, I'll get his girlfriend's number. And again, how he got her, I'll never know. And so I leave a message for Judy and then telling her who I know and saying, I need a singer to sing country, another girl on Thursday nights. It's a steady gig. And then what did you think? Then you get the message.
I listened to it. I went to Terry and I said, this girl through this drummer, I don't know. Should I call her back? I don't know. You know? And but she wasn't sure. I mean,
we questioned each other because of the same douchebag we both knew. So we're like, if she knows him.
Shout out to the drummer, love you now.
But we were like, she knows him. We were both feeling the same way. Maybe she's like a loser. And I'm like, but she's dating him. You know, because at this point, I still didn't know you weren't his girlfriend.
That is so funny.
I guess you and Terry talked about it, right?
See, just give her a call. See what I did. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But then when I pulled up the night for the audition for the owner, I was like, wow, okay. So anyway, I pull up and we had moved here from Tennessee and I wasn't out in Pompano that much. We were down in Davie. And it's this warehouse district.
It had bars.
I didn't know there were things in warehouse districts down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right.
I know.
I would be a little nervous about that too.
There's like a little square building. It's got bars on it and
bars on the windows.
It's a circus, you know, and this is it. So it was kind of scary going in, but and then I saw JD out there. She was singing already and she looks fierce and Joan Jett and like she could kill me. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, so come up and introduce myself and we sang a couple of songs. Phil liked it and
fantastic.
I did know I had an intimidating persona, but people have told me that. So I'm like, here's a bunch of songs. I handed you, at that time we had cassettes. We were working with tracks. And I said, learn what you know on here. And by the way, we have a wedding we're doing next weekend.
Oh my God. Just sink or swim.
And the rest was history. That was it.
It was a lot of fun stories.
That's awesome. It's really cool. Like to know how much history you guys have. That's probably what makes it work. You know, you go through the thicks and the thins and then you have like the trust and it all comes out in music, in my opinion.
It does. Yeah. It doesn't.
You gotta have a lot of trust, you know?
You have to have the trust. And when we were in the rollover 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, we were like, we had a gig in Key West 4 days later, and we just couldn't believe we were on our way to that gig, like that we survived and walked away from that rollover, and here we are on our way to another show. Like, I don't think we'd be as grateful ever to do a show as we were for that one. Because of that.
Surviving a rollover is definitely something to be grateful for.
Say,
two? Really? Two?
two. Can you believe that? I think God has a plan for me, but I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Doesn't involve rollovers.
Oh, man. I was going to say, when I come to Florida, I never rent a car because I just, you know, my mother's mobility is so bad that she's at home a lot. So she'll say, just, you know, use my car. Or I drop her off at the casino and I got the car for a good 10 hours. But yeah, it was like, man, I'll just tell JD to come to my mom's, you know, like we do a show for my mother's. And then I was, and then, you know, but I'm like, I like the chances of her getting there. You're all like, all these rollover things, like, man.
I'll drive.
Yeah, Judy's got to be involved.
Oh my God, yeah, definitely.
There's a steak and shake on the way, Denise.
There's a steak and shake right around the corner. Exactly. Exactly. That's how we give JD directions. Make a left at the steak and shake.
Yeah.
Well, like 30 miles, make a right at that steak and shake. Get her to the gig in Orlando. That was so funny.
Yeah, that was so funny. That's the story of the steak and shake. So, do we have time for another song?
Was that our first time working together, though? Was that
the first event I did for you guys outside the studio. It was gay. Girls at Gay Games.
Did I say one that Denise was part of?
This one you were not there for. Oh, okay. This was in Orlando. Kelly was driving.
Oh, okay.
And it was Girls at Gay. What was that called? Girls at Gay
Days. Yeah, Girls at Gay Days. It was
like a pool party.
Yeah, it was at the sister hotel to the boys, because everything's about the boys. So we had, but it was our first time at that really nice resort, because that had like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome pool area, and we were on for the whole day and then hosted the music thing at night, so it was a really full on like a gig. But yeah, and we would do that in Key West as well. Like we would start at like 11 a.m. and not finish till 7 p.m. you know, those
pool. Wow. I never got in that. I could never submit in time to get in that. I always forget about that.
I think they like that Sister Funk and what's the other girl? We were just talking about her. She was on Suzanne.
Lori Michaels?
No, Jennifer Corday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like they have their standard people year after year.
Right, it's hard to get into them.
Definitely, yeah. But that's a sweet gig if you can get it. that was one of my favorites. I look forward to that all year, man. That was just the best. So
Kelly and I were trying to find it. That was before GPS. That was when phones didn't even have a GPS, before smartphones. And
oh, definitely.
They were telling us, see the steak and shake, and like, we're not finding the steak and shake. So when we got there, we missed a whole bunch of stuff from telling us stories about that happened in the pool party, at the pool party that we missed.
Oh, the games. We used to
miss games.
Yeah, the muffin eating contest was so good. And then the oily beach balls was good to try and run across the pool area with a beach ball between your knees that was covered in suntan oil. Yeah, we used to make people do the, well, no, I shouldn't say we used to make them. People will do the dumbest things for a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I learned. For a free t-shirt, they will do just about anything.
And I got a t-shirt anyway, but I played, so I guess that counted, yeah, right? I got a t-shirt.
You gotta earn them. You gotta earn them somehow.
Yeah, t-shirts.
Yeah, we don't just throw them out to anyone. You gotta. We're not like the NBA. I mean, you know, you have to earn them. As a matter of fact, when I moved here, I did Elfest like the second year I was here, and I met like a bunch of people and. Did same thing, like hosted on the main stage, but you know, made people do dumb things for shirts. But I gave there was a signer on the, you know, doing the ASL for most of the concert and stuff, and so I gave her a shirt because that's that's a tough gig, you know? And so a year or two later, she texts me and she goes, do you watch the show Come Dine With Me? And I'm like, no. And she was like, well, you have to, because I'm in it. I'm on the show and I'm wearing your shirt for the whole thing. I was like, free publicity. So yeah, it's a show where like strangers cook for each other and rate each other's food. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the whole time, all the off camera talking, the confessionals and all that, MLR Kitty right there.
Oh, that's nice.
She brought our logo and just smeared it all over, like, you know, British television. It was awesome. So yeah, I still get, you know, I think it was just like maybe 2 years ago that she messaged me and said that she's worn that t-shirt out and she needs another one. I was like,
oh, well, yeah. Well, you know, it's a turn on that, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that, because when you did Elfest, I think that was when you guys put on your Facebook page, we're global, baby. That was so cool.
That was in 2013 on Donna and Deb. And we had so many Americans that I could tell the Brits were getting nervous. They were getting outnumbered. But like, we showed up in like a 7-person passenger van and just kept spilling out, like, you know, like clowns in a circus. We just kept more and more people. And yeah, like Lucy and Mandy were the music directors that year. So they did like a whole Rocky theme when they announced me and Donna, like just it was so fun. Yeah, that was probably the best year. And then it just, I think, like I said, the whole festival itself took a different turn. And yeah, this is probably like my 4th or 5th year that I just like haven't done it. And I think they're only gonna have it, 2022 is their last one, and then they're done. So we'll have to book you in pubs, because I haven't done a festival in years.
Well, Judy's going to join me when we do our pub tour.
These places open up. I want to come over, yeah.
We want to see Horse. She wants to see Horse, too. I turned her on to Horse's music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's something to see. It's really good. She is actually really incredible. And especially if we go to that gig that's at the big church in London.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. So, yeah, make plans for that.
Are tickets on sale yet for her?
I'm not quite sure. I'll have to have Gemma look into it. She just got us tickets for Hannah Gadsby. She's a comedian that we really, really like for 2022. So everything that you're buying is so weird, because it's like for 2022. But yeah, we'll definitely look into it and make sure that we're situated with tickets.
Okay, great. Let us know, because you want to do the pub tour, play the beat, the whole thing.
Yeah. Do the whole thing, all of it. I agree.
Sure.
All right, I'm doing a straight up shot.
Oh, wow.
Straight up shot out of Coke. Ready?
All right.
Here we go.
I need a little more. Hang on.
What do you got? Oh, that's right. Okay.
Wait, I just need a little more. I've been drinking the whole time, because you know. It goes with the, I'm talking about our days of playing in the bars, and here we go. All right, we're gonna.
All right, ladies.
I got it neat, also neat.
That's why you don't have a device.
That's good. It clears out the pipes.
Yeah.
So this is a song called Brown Eyed Women.
Oh, take us out, ladies. Take us out.
It's a Grateful Dead song, but it mentions like liquor, grenadine,
gin,
whiskey, just about everything we like at the Whiskey Rock Lounge.
Oh, my. Okay. I don't like this.
Gone are the days when the ox fall down. Take up the yoke and thou will feed you. Gone are the days when the ladies set free. Gentle Jack Jones, won't you come to me? Brown-eyed women in red grenadine. The bottle was dusty, but the liquor was clean. Sound of thunder with rain falling down. And it looks like the old man getting old. stepped to the bar, drank from dregs of whiskey bar. 1930, when the wall caved in, he made his way somewhere that I did. Yeah, brown-eyed women in red brandy. The bottle was dust, but the liquid was clean. Sound of thunder with rain pouring down. Looks like the old man.
Clean.
Yes. Of course.
Day, right?
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing that with us. This has been an absolute pleasure.
It has been so fun. I want to say you had so many great people on your
podcast. We're getting lucky.
And now it's us, so I appreciate it. So thank you. I enjoyed some great people. Yeah.
Thank you. Judy's an avid listener, and I was nervous about today. I called Denise earlier. We have this plan and we're going to do this. Thank you, Denise, for this. Next time it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a talent. I just sit here and type. Write another book, man.
Story to tell. We've got questions.
I want to know what it's like to be an author of three book deal.
I heard that too. Where do I get these books?
Amazon.
Okay. Looking.
Just gotta Google my name and they come up. But yeah, that was a fluke. That was a real fluke. But somebody tweeted a question that said, "What, you know, it's Pride season or whatever. What are you most proud of about yourself?" And I'm like, I'm kind of a good cook. and then Jem's like, you wrote three books in a year. I was like, I forgot about that. Once you're done, you know?
Yeah, so, I don't know. Can I say one more thing, one more bragging right about you? That you were in the Herstory, you and Donna, the Herstory Museum.
Oh, we're going to be, yeah.
The Museum of Herstory. For the podcast of Lesbian Lounge, because you guys were pioneers with that podcast.
A little bit of trailblazing going on back in 2000.
Trailblazing. Yeah, and you know, you've done a lot of cool things. Like, if this were now, you and Gemma could be a 90 Day Fiance. I know you don't watch that show, you don't get it there. Right? But your story is totally 90 Day Fiance, the other way. There's 90 Day Fiance the other way, where the American goes to live in the other person's country.
Oh, yeah. So. No, I won't even visit.
Well, yeah, you met in the middle.
So it's true, though. Like, I tell people that story that, you know, like, we just met through the podcast or whatever, as she was a listener, and I think she called in or wrote in. I don't know. I think she wrote in. And she asked me and Donna four questions. And the questions were so good because they either took you down memory lane or they made the listeners engage in the chat room. You know, like her questions were like, what was your favorite lunchbox when you were little? And stuff like that. Like, what was your, favorite lunch at school or, things like that. So it would spawn like all this really good interactive communication with everybody. So I wrote her back and I said, could you send us four questions every week? And she did. So for 3 years, every Monday she would send in her questions and we would do them on the show. And we gave her a little segment like Gemma Wants to Know, and everybody knew her as like Gemma from Oz, Gemma from Down Under. And then we had like this really sick, flirty relationship, like when she would call in, because the times were crazy. Like it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night and it was noon the next day when she would be hearing us broadcast live.
Oh, wow.
So if she could, if she could call in, she would. And I would be just like super sleazy with her. Thinking, we're never going to meet, what difference does it make? But yet in our emails, we were constantly catching up, like a little, her questions and then a little paragraph about like how she was doing, because she was still in college. So I just always thought of her as like frozen at 18 or 19 or, whatever. And not even adding up the years that all the emails and, and she said, I'm done. I graduated and I'm coming to the States for a big holiday with my gay buddy, James. Can we put Miami on the list? Cause we're going to New York and LA. So I was like, yeah, and Donna's like, oh, the kids are coming. They can stay with me. The kids are coming. So when I actually like, laid eyes on her, I was like still thinking that she was young. 18. Yeah. So I didn't even want to make eye contact. I was just like, oh dang, she's hot, but I couldn't like, so we only had like 4 days together, but it was just like.
That visit, they came to see me play, my band play.
Yes.
Ellington at the Silver Screen Theater.
Yes.
So I got to meet Gemma, but because I had known her from the show that she called in with the questions.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what was going on with you two at that point. I just knew that you guys.
Such drunken. I can't even tell you what went on that weekend because I would be like weak. It was so messed up on every level, and yet somehow we made it work. It was like sneaky. It was wrong. It was bathrooms, stuff under tables. I mean, it was bad. But you had to fit it in. It was only 4 days. But then, and then we just started like the long distance thing from there. And here we are 10 years later.
That's amazing. That in itself is an amazing story.
It is amazing when I think about it too. But I have that thought about so much stuff, like the people that we connected, like the people that are still friends today that were listeners back in 2006, 2007, 2008. They're still friends, like Jen and Stacy.
Awesome.
There's just so much that is.
And they're still together.
Yeah.
Those are Danny's friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not saying that they met through the podcast, but we met through the podcast, mm-hmm. And then I became friends with them when she brought Stacy and introduced her to all of us. So it's just really weird. Like we just have, I knew Katie that we had on the show who lives over here. I knew Katie before I moved here. Because of the show. So yeah, it's just super strange. And all the people that would come to like Daytona Pride, we would do Daytona Pride Fest and what was the other one? Space Coast Pride. We would do all those up there. And all the people year after year that would come every year and, look forward to seeing us and stuff. And that they're still like Facebook friends of mine still. So
that's
still really, really weird, but it is it's a cool thing to look back on and say that, you know, that we were a part of that. So
you were groundbreaking trailblazers.
Yeah, kind of. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, if it wasn't for Devin, you know, from Girl Radio, when he said he wanted to do it, he was all in. Like, he brought equipment to my house and set that room up like a studio. You know, we had like the microphones that you see like DJs on a radio station have, and this big crystal full of stuff, and Vicky with the big cans on, you know, doing all her. It was DJ like DJ Vic. DJ Vic. Complete opposite of that.
You're just so natural. You just talk, and you know, I feel like my eyes start all over, and you know, and Tyler thinks also, he goes, she's got great questions, she's got a way about her.
Oh yeah.
It's been a learning, you know, learning. You're constantly learning from it. But I think, yeah, that background, you know, made this super easy to jump right into. So that was JD's credit. JD goes, I think I'm going to do a podcast. Would you want to be on? I'm like, I'll host it with you. What are you talking about?
I'm like, hey, what a great idea. And then, like, and you're so great at it. It's like, this is awesome. It just works.
I was ready for it. It was like, you know, I had like a 3-year break. I was ready to jump back in. So here we are. Yeah. We jumped back in.
Yeah. We're coming up with merch. We're thinking about merch and whiskey glasses and whatever. So
some kind of cool stuff, because you got to give stuff away at gigs. We got to cross promote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to something for our 4th of July thing. I'll have something.
That'd be great. I want some redneck listeners.
Speaking of redneck, I can't get her to do her original stuff.
I know.
At all this time, it's like, let's be in the studio. I do some harmonies on it, but we haven't done enough of them for me. I want to do an original today, but.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I did. Aww. It's like, quarantine. I was like, that's what you are. She writes so good. I love her songs.
I know.
So I'm going to go on like to say that. And Thank you.
Well, I feel like people want to hear what they recognize, but you know, I have been inspired a lot from listening to Horse, who's my new Janisian.
Are you happy about that?
I'm now obsessed with
I'm glad we've moved on. I'm glad we moved on. Somebody from this century. This is awesome. It's hilarious. When I was you know, packing up to move here, I had two suitcases and Gemma's two suitcases. Like Gemma and Hazel each brought a spare suitcase. So all together, I had to fit my whole life in four suitcases when I moved over here. And you just don't, you're in such a haze when you're chucking stuff out and, you know, like condensing and throwing things out and deciding what to bring and what to throw away and what to save. And so I don't even really remember it. And this past New Year's, we got new beds, and there were all these, the old beds that we had, you lift them up and there was storage underneath, and we had all these bins in them. And I was going through the bins and I found your CD, and I was like, look what I saved of all the things we were moving.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
I'm honored. It made it across.
It made it across the pond. Yeah.
And the filthy picture of me licking your poster at Lesby.
I love that picture. As a matter of fact, I'm going to frame that picture and hang it on my wall of shame or fame or whatever I call this wall.
Shame. No, shame.
No.
No, no, I'm on that wall.
You know what I call it? My ego wall. I got that name from, do you remember Susie Quatros, Leather Tuscadero?
Oh God, yeah. I had a big crush.
She lives in England. She made her whole career.
I know. Mandy knows her. Well, Mandy's
Facebook. My other Janice. Oh my God. Anyway, Susie Quattro, because I became obsessed with her, she made her career in England and moved there because her husband was her guitar player, and I think he was from there. Anyway, she said she has an old house, like an old English house, and a country house. And she goes, she has one room that goes up like a winding staircase up into one room. And that's her ego room. So I have an ego wall, but her ego room has her costumes in case it's hanging on the wall. So when she feels bad about herself or whatever, she goes up to her ego room and spends
look
a little
what
time.
I was. Look what I was. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an ego wall. So I'm going to put that picture. I love that picture on my ego wall.
Definitely. It just popped up in my phone. I was looking for something. Just like scrolling and it landed on that. And I was like, oh my God.
That was funny.
We had no boundaries. So
none.
But have you noticed though? I've really reined it in a little bit on this one. Like I've reined it in just a little bit.
You did.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that on my account.
I don't want to make you blush too much.
That's okay. I'll get, you know, I need to step it up a little. So, you know, don't worry about reining it in. Okay.
You said it. It's right here.
Here it is.
Put it out there. So you got a gig on the 4th of July. And do you have anything else that we need to know about?
For the town of Davie. I don't have anything yet. I'm working on a few things. With COVID, it's a little tough because there's so many bands right now pitching for the same events that are open. I was working on St. Pete Pride, but I haven't heard back from them yet. So I'm not sure about that. But other than that, our podcast is my jam.
Okay, that works then. That's perfect. Next week we have the actress Michelle Bonilla, who has been on Criminal Minds, ER back in the day when there were no lesbians on TV. She was playing a lesbian paramedic on ER. But a million things. And the minute you see her face, you'll recognize her. But she also has the short film out that had Dana Goldberg playing a dead wife. So, so she wrote and directed that in the middle of a pandemic again. I mean, don't these LA people make you feel like a giant slug? Like all through lockdown, all I did was eat Oreos and watch television and Netflix and stuff. And they're making movies and figuring out how to get shit done. Lauren made a commercial. You know, it's like, oh my God, we make no use of our time whatsoever.
I have felt that way for the last few shows, except we created the Whiskey Rock Lounge.
Right. So. We have to think about that. They were out there making movies, but we are giving them a platform to talk about it. So,
right.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Cheers, my friend. Thank you again for doing this. I appreciate it.
This was awesome.
I will.
Thank you for caring about our career.
I'm telling you, here's to you guys.
Cheers.
Judy. Nice seeing you. Give Tyler him like an in-person.
I'll see him this month.
Oh, excellent. Okay. some kind of pervy squeeze from me.
I will.
All right, ladies.
Bye.